Hello everyone, welcome to another episode of Life Chat with Viv and Vil. Vilma and I are so appreciative of you joining us today. Vilma, have you been watching the celebration of life about Congressman John Lewis? I really like the way that they're honoring him in the media and so forth. So what's your thoughts about that? Have you been watching it?
Yes, I have been watching it. I wouldn't miss for anything. I have been learning so much over these past few days. And although I have heard about Congressman John Lewis and I've seen some of his works, but I didn't recognize the depths of who he was. Right. And I am so really, really happy of who he was and the things he has done.
Awesome. Yeah, definitely. I didn't even know it myself. And you know, we're just thankful for people like him and Dr. King who have paved the way for where we are today. Mm-hmm. And we're just thankful for them. Yes, so yes. Today, this is going to be a fantastic show. And I'm so overjoyed because these are my adopted brothers and my nephew, along with my sister-in-law who's on today. I am really, really excited about this show. Anyway, so we're going to be talking about entrepreneurship. So are you excited also, Vilma, or I'm just the only one who's...
No, I'm going to try to pronounce that word. What's it again? Entrepreneurship. Oh, yeah, I did it. Okay, cool. Yeah.
Okay. All right. Anyway, these young men and women have blazed and trailed the business arena, and they stepped out on faith and they built successful businesses. I'm really looking forward to hear what they have to say because I know I'm going to learn something. And Vilma, I think you learned something too. But, you know, so many people are losing their jobs today and they really don't know which end is up. And sometimes you have a dream to do something and you hesitate and you really don't know which way to go or should you step out. And, you know, we always say to our audience, don't just dream your life. You need to live your dream. And this is what these young people have done. And I just wanted to welcome them to our show today. Emmanuel Godson and Jordan Morgan and Danielle. Danielle, I always mess up your last name. Say it. Wah?
Wah. Wah. You got it. Right.
To our show. We just want you guys to just introduce yourself and tell us about your business and how long you've been in business. And just let our audience know who you are, because I will have you guys on later to go more in depth about your businesses. So welcome once again. And let's start out with Emmanuel. Emmanuel, want to jump in here and introduce yourself to our audience?
So hello, everyone. My name is Emmanuel Godson. Basically, my main business is online marketing. I also own some e-commerce brands as well, and also trade foreign exchange market. So that's kind of like a little bit of an introduction to what I do. My main goal is to entrepreneur as many income streams as possible, as many avenues to, I guess, freedom. And yeah, that's a little bit of what I do.
Okay. How long have you been in business?
I've been in business for, I left my job in April of 2018. So just about over 2 years now, I've been in business full time for myself. So I'm just really grateful for all that God's done.
Awesome. Awesome.
Great.
What about you, Danielle?
Hi, everyone. My name is Danielle Waugh, also known in the beauty industry as In Her Beauty. I started my company about, I would say, 7 years ago when October arrived. I started literally from scratch. I had a degree for law. And I was pursuing that passion. And when I turned 30, I didn't want to do something that I wasn't excited about anymore. It was very important for me to do something that I felt really drawn to, something that moved me and something that I can leave my mark on in the world. And I felt very drawn to the beauty community. And as a person from the Caribbean background, when I told my mom, she was like, something wrong with you, you lose your senses. And I did not lose my senses. Like, I actually found it. And it has been the best decision I've ever made and the most rewarding one, because as an entrepreneur, a lot really goes into it. And I think a lot of people see the glamorous side of it. So they usually come on board, I would say, towards the successful years of it when you start to actually develop. But no one really is aware of the grind that goes into it, the sleepless nights, the amount of energy that it takes, the networking, the partnerships. It's just a lot. So coming out on the midway, I think, of my portion of my career where I am blessed to kind of be in this space where I'm able to live and play somewhat by my own rules and leave my beauty mark on the community.
Awesome. Awesome. Jordan.
Hello. So my name is Jordan Morgan. I do real estate. I do a bunch of different avenues in real estate. I've been in business about 10 years now. I'm not going to lie, your intro got me kind of fired up. I felt like I was like John Wayne talking about blazing a trail for entrepreneurship. It's kind of a cool intro, but based on that, I do, I have an acquisition company. I have a fix and flip company. We have a contracting company. We also have a rental management company that manages our rentals. And then we also have an investment company. So we have a couple different companies that we run, similar to what Emmanuel said. Trying to have as many income streams as possible towards financial freedom. And then also, basing off what Danielle said, a lot of people don't really see the rough times that you go through in the beginning stages of entrepreneurship until you become successful. And then when you become successful, everybody's like, they want to blaze that trail, if you will, but they don't realize what you got to go through. So I've done kind of mentorship stuff where I've tried to help people get there, but that's kind of what they run into. But that's a little bit of background on me. So been in business for about 10 years. And I look forward to being on the show with you guys. Thanks for having me.
All right. Thank you. Great introduction. And you started your business 10 years ago, Jordan. You must have been in diapers.
Oh, man.
10 years. Wow. You guys are, you know, putting me to shame. That's great. That's great. And you guys went on and you answered some of what we're going to ask you next, but I want you to elaborate on that and to go into some of the hurdles you had to overcome starting your own business.
All right. Well, I'll go first. As I stated, I think one of the hurdles for me was mentally, because I come from a pretty much academic family and a Caribbean family on top of that. So I think trying to get my family and friends to jump on board with the idea of me following this, I guess maybe many would consider as a wasteful job, or maybe you don't have education, or, you know, a knack for life kind of job, or just, you know, gone with the wind kind of job, getting everyone to come on board with that. Prior to me starting my own business in the beauty industry, I was a managing director at an company where I pretty much did a lot of the sales and marketing management for all of their global countries. So I was managing about, I think it was 78 countries at the time. And I literally went from having this phenomenal lifestyle in my 20s. And I say phenomenal lifestyle because I feel like most of us in our 20s, maybe we're still with our parents or something like that. And maybe not having too many opportunities to kind of say, as young people say, floss or whatever in life. But I had a really, really great salary. I had my own place. I was traveling the world. And I went through one whole passport with that company. That's how much I was traveling the world. So I had a lot of opportunities. So when I decided to become an entrepreneur, people thought I was literally losing my mind and that it was going to be a waste of time. And for me, it has been one of the most fruitful things. But in order to follow my passion, the biggest thing for me, I had to take a step back economically, because going into the beauty industry, when you're starting out, it's not the most fruitful career when you're starting out. And I literally went from working in corporate America to working for MAC Cosmetics. So that was a huge disparity in salary. Mm-hmm. And I would say, once I wrapped my brain around, this is what I'm going to do, I'm going to take the salary cut to pursue my dream, that was the biggest hurdle to get over. Once I did that, things became a little bit easier, but downgrading your lifestyle when you've been accustomed to it for so long was a hurdle. And then also for me, not having the money to create certain things. For example, I had to learn how to do coding to create my own website because I didn't have the money to hire someone externally for that. I feel like in this entrepreneurial space, people are more forthcoming with information now. But I feel a couple years ago, I didn't really have someone to really turn to, especially someone of color, whether a guy or a girl. So I literally had to learn how to incorporate my business, how to get my business cards going, get the website up and jumping, open a business account. Like, there was so many things that I just did not know, and I had to learn on my own. And I feel like had I had some level of blueprint or maybe a group of people or network that I could reach out to, it would have been a lot easier for me in starting out.
Awesome. How about you, Emmanuel?
For me, my whole story has kind of been with just one of just like overcoming a bunch of stuff, man. So my story is kind of, I guess, long, but just really started back in 2017 or 2016 rather. I was working a job at JP Morgan that I didn't really like, and it wasn't really my ideal job. Really speaking about setbacks, I had lost my job in 2015. Just kind of like you mentioned previously, I had a great job, you know, a lot of great perks, you know, traveled a lot, did a lot of cool things. But fortunately, I was let go. It was at the DuPont company. You know, from there, I went to JP Morgan. And it's kind of funny. DuPont was a lot different of a company. It was a lot more lax. JP Morgan, I was really awakened to like the culture there, the difference. It's a lot more results driven. And I found that, you know, work ethic, not going to say that it was, you know, I needed to work harder at JP Morgan, but it's just a different type of work. And it required, you know, a lot more analytical skills that I really didn't have at the time. So it really just wasn't a fit. And I found myself at the point where I had to either make my company work or I wasn't sure where my career was going to go. It was really, really a challenging time. I mean, just starting my company, I would have to go to work. On a way to work, I would constantly read like motivational books. Like, I'm a big audiobook person because I don't have the time to necessarily read, but I make sure at least I listen to an audiobook at least, you know, 15, 20 minutes a day. So I'd read or listen to an audiobook on the way to work, get my mind right, go in there, you know, do my work. During lunch, I would skip lunch, come back to my apartment, lift work so I can get some type of workout in, go back to work, on the way home, maybe grab like a Wawa sub, and then, you know, get working, you know, as soon as I got home. And I did that for about, I want to say maybe 3 to 6 months, just continually back to back to back to back to back. And it really wasn't until I found a mentor who ended up, it was like a kind of a crazy story, who ended up not being, you know, on good terms with me anymore, because I started really, you know, showing a lot of success. But it all started when I had a mentor who, you know, saw a lot in me. Obviously, I had to pay for his mentorship, but, you know, he really helped me to understand some of the fine nuances in what I was doing. I was very, very close. It's funny because when I first started my company, I was very, very close. I started getting sales, you know, off the bat, but I didn't know what I knew now. And knowing what I knew now, I could have pushed and gone further, you know what I mean, and really gone for it. Mm-hmm. But it was my mentor who really helped to open my eyes to those things. So I overcame that and, you know, just started my company. And the relationship really started to change, you know what I mean? And I had to overcome. I found out that, you know, he had taking some of my products and some of the things that I had created, and he had kind of replicated them and put them online on his own, wow, like store or whatever, wow, so to speak. And I, just because I did like a Google search, and like, you know, I'm like a nerd, you know what I mean? I don't really go out on the weekends to do stuff. So I'm just kind of always looking at ways to improve. So I was just doing a reverse engineering search on my own stuff just to see how we were competing against the market. And then I saw his products, and I knew it was his because of the email. He's kind of lazy when he does stuff. Like the site he created and the email was his. He's based in Greece, so I knew it said like, you know, .gr. So I knew it was him. I mean, and he's the only one that would really know me and have like, you know, access to the type of things that I do. So I had to overcome that. Eventually, you know, I severed the relationship. I ended up, you know, with a quote unquote loss, you know, and paid him for stuff he didn't end up teaching me. But, mm-hmm, you know, by God's grace, you know, I'm poor for that. I mean, I can tell you about another situation just with, you know, dealing with Facebook. I mean, I'm an online marketer, and Facebook, you know, restricting my ad account. It's actually something I literally just overcame, I want to say, not even a week ago. Wow. I had an ad account. My profile was restricted from advertising, and as an online marketer, it's obviously, like, you know, a bad thing. Mm-hmm. Fortunately, though, as I said, I'm kind of a nerd, so I just spent all my time working. So we had built other reserve traffic sources and other reserve areas and platforms that we can advertise to, and I'd kind of mastered those, so we were able to tap in. And in the grand scheme of things, we even came about a new platform called Snapchat. You know, a lot of people aren't really hip to Snapchat advertising yet, but Snapchat's, mm-hmm, a platform for a couple of years. But I mean, just out of necessity, because Facebook was, you know, they were going through that glitch with our ad account. I had to go and teach myself Snapchat advertising, you know, and by God's grace, now we're crushing it. So we're moving a lot of budget into Snapchat now, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. So that's one, you know, thing I had to overcome. By God's grace, I was able to get my ad account back from my account manager who I was able to work with. She helped me get my stuff back. Yeah, I could go on and on and on, but, you know, those are just a few examples of the things I've been through.
Awesome. Wow. That's amazing, because I know how that is, and have some other people I know that Facebook knocked them off, and that's how they were getting their money each month coming in, and then that just cut everything off. So that's kind of hard when that's your source of income.
Definitely.
Jordan, what about you?
Yeah, so it's funny, just, I guess, resonating with what Danielle and Iman said. It's kind of like when we first started out, it's like it's almost like a step back for a setup for success. And I know a lot of the times, like even in our Christian walk, it's like we're not going to grow the most when we're succeeding the most. So it's kind of like you get put in these situations, and just like Iman said, it's like your Facebook ad gets shut down, but it's like God's almost pointing you towards like Snapchat or something else. So it's kind of like a setback for a setup for a success. So we've had very similar situations like that where we, our first flip that we actually did, very first flip, we lost money on. Contractor did a 30, basically didn't pay all the subs out. We had to pay all the subs. Then the market made a turn and we lost like $30,000. So mm-hmm. It was like our first flip. We're expecting on hiring our dad and getting him all set up to start working with us. And the first flip was a complete setback. So it's kind of like you really learn who you are when you're set back. And I know a lot of people are like, man, like I just can't get through this. But it's like kind of like the numb feelings that you go through and the rough times are what really make you. And it's all about how you operate through those times, relying on God. And He puts you in situations to make sure you rely on Him. So it's funny, but if you have faith as small as a mustard seed, you can overcome anything. So we've been through some very vicarious situations, if you will. And I mean, we've had stories where we've lost money, and then stories where we had a project where we were supposed to raise money for it, and we basically had to raise $150,000 before settlement for down money on a property. We didn't know where we were going to get it from. And the day before settlement, we literally raised the money. It was like 4:45. My brother sent a text out, got it confirmed, and got it done. So it was like kind of like we were doubting at first. So it's kind of like you doubt, and you're like, dang, God, like, I thought this was supposed to be, like, the thing, and then it's, like, down to the wire, and you're like, oh, man, like, God, like, I don't know why I doubted you. Kind of like that. So, I mean, you could go on and on for stories, but that's just kind of my take on it. It's like a lot of the setbacks that we go through as entrepreneurs is God kind of steering us in the right direction and making sure that we rely on Him, because if you're an overnight success story, there's not really much, I guess, as you kind of grow mm-hmm. on an entrepreneur level, and also a spiritual level, like things don't get easy. So you gotta overcome. So I think
there's a lot of glory in the story. I think that's where the treasure really is. So I really agree with that.
Mm-hmm. Definitely.
Amazing stories.
Wow. So you guys been through so many things of Danielle, you have to teach yourself and learning all these things there with no example. Emmanuel, you had mentors that did you wrong, and Jordan losing finances. Mm-hmm. In all those situations, knowing what you know now, would you guys do this all over again?
Hell yeah. Totally would. Hands down. A million times over. Oh. Well worth every sacrifice. Well worth all of the long nights. All of the, I guess, even just investing in myself. Hell yeah. A million times over.
Wow. Looking at where we came from and the success that we're at now, it's like we were able to retire our dad. Dad works with us. That was one of our big steps. And then we had more hurdles we had to overcome. But every step back that we went through is kind of like almost like you really enjoy what you've been through. At the end of the day, you mm-hmm. kind of like look back and smile. Like during it, you're not really smiling. You're like, man, like I don't know what's going to happen, but I would definitely do it over again. I mean, it's a lot of sacrifice, and a lot of people are like, always want you to come out and party or do whatever, and you're kind of like on your entrepreneur journey and you're kind of out the way, and it's a good sacrifice, because now I see where I'm at and I see where other people are, and I'm just like, do the same thing, you just have to sacrifice. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. What about you, Manuel?
I mean I agree 100%. Definitely we'll do the same thing over and over again without question. I mean, as I said, me, I kind of had no choice, but it's funny, right? I have this thing written on my wall, and ever since I graduated college, I kind of had like a mindset of, you know, I'm going to be a millionaire before 30, you know what I mean? And I wrote it in on my wall. I signed and dated, you know, at the age of 22, you know, and it's kind of funny to like to see, well, not funny, but it's amazing to see how everything's kind of coming to fruition, you know, to kind of, you know, at the point where like things are now reality, you know, what once a dream. So, I mean, absolutely. It's almost like it's destiny, you know what I mean? I just didn't, like, I never fit in with corporate America, you know what I mean? I was never, you know, people would tell me to jump and I wouldn't be the guy that asked how high. I'd be the guy who asked like, why, you know what I mean? Like, and it's not necessarily because I'm rebellious. It's just because I just had a thing about me where I just saw some of the attitudes, the way people were treated, and it just didn't fit with me. And also, as I said, I just always felt in my heart that this is what I was called to do. So it's more so destiny. It's not even anything I could change or would change. It's just who I'm supposed to be. And that's really what it is.
Right.
Wonderful. I think it also comes down to like kind of have, I don't want to say an entrepreneurship gene, but it's like if you're a natural born problem solver, when somebody asks to jump and you don't say how high, it's kind of like, dang, like, all right, well, maybe you should look into doing your own business sometime. Because if you can problem solve on your own, entrepreneurship may be something for you. I don't know, some people aren't really cut out for it, and you can tell who is, but like some people that I know personally that are built for entrepreneurship and they problem solve all the time, they just haven't made that jump yet. So just knowing who to push and who not to is definitely selling.
Mm-hmm. Wow.
Have COVID-19 affected your guys' business in any way?
Yes, I mean, increased sales. People are home, so we definitely scaled up. I mean, I don't say that to be coy or anything like that. It's just, you know, the reality of things. People are home, so they're spending a lot of time, you know, online and whatnot. But also in the sense, in the negative sense that, you know, it affected some of our supply chains, you know what I mean? We do rely on, you know, overseas manufacturers at times. So it was a double-edged sword, but overall, by God's grace, as I said, it definitely, you know, we came out with new opportunities. And just being home, we had to, we had nothing but time. So we created, you know, a couple other businesses as well. So we're looking forward to scaling 2021.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Same here. We crushed it during COVID. I know a lot of people in my industry kind of scaled back, but we definitely by God's grace. I was kind of nervous at first on what to do, where to go. And we dumped our money into marketing while other people were stopping marketing because they didn't see where the stuff was going to happen, and we capitalized. So it was a great couple months for us.
I wouldn't say I crushed it like Jordan, but I'm definitely surviving. So because I'm in the beauty industry, everything is pretty much forward facing. So it's whether it's film or television, and or even if someone is simply is getting married or having an event. There's no event that you just can't even gather at that capacity. So a lot of the business pretty much, not a lot of it, all of it went out the window in the middle of March. So what I did to pivot the business was provide a bit more online master classes because people are on Zoom. Their colleagues and their friends and whoever are seeing them in ways that they haven't seen them before. So I was really able to kind of hone in on that marketplace and people's interest to still want to look and feel their best from home. So I've been able to really take advantage of that. I wouldn't say I crushed it, but I'm definitely providing myself a nice coin and surviving to kind of tide me over. And I can say that things are really starting to pick up. I think as of 2 weeks ago in New York, we were able to start shooting different things. So yeah, it's starting to just pick right back up. So I feel really good that I've been able to actually survive. And I think one thing, I'm not sure if you guys are going to get into this, because I feel like it's important me to state, especially during this kind of survival method or period that I call it, is struggling as an entrepreneur in not realizing, I would say for me initially, that the money that you make this month, you may not make next month. Mm-hmm. And I think in my first 6 months of business, I kind of learned that the hard way. So being able to reserve an amount of money for a half a year, a year's worth of lifestyle and making sure you can stay afloat is a very, very big thing, but it is a must for an entrepreneur because you literally do not know when that next dollar is coming. And one day you'll make, say, $5,000, $10,000, $15,000, $20,000 on a deal, and the next deal could just be, you know, $100,000. You just really never know. So learning how to manage that expectation, save, it's a big deal.
That's good.
Yeah, that's some very good information. And you guys have inspired me so much. I'm sitting here and I'm looking at you all and I'm saying, you know, what depth you know, when I was your age, I don't think I had this amount of passion and forward thinking as you guys. So I really admire you all. And yes, Daniel, we are going to get to that where we ask you to give some tips to people listening in. But before we go there, I just want to remind our audience that we are speaking with Emmanuel Godson, Daniel Waugh, Jordan Morgan, and they are young entrepreneurs who are sharing information with us in case you are listening in the middle of what we are saying. So here's the other question that I have for you all. What advice do you have for the person listening in right now who's hesitant in starting their own business? How can you push them off to give them a jump start? Get up, dive in. What do you want to say?
So for me, I would say is that you got to want it bad enough, man. And business is really like, if you want to get in business, like, I mean, obviously I had a goal of, you know, being a millionaire and all that. But in the process of that, you know, you have to go through a lot, man. You have to serve a lot of people. You know what I mean? Like, yes. You want to go into business, then you have to understand that you have to love people. You have to get to know people. You have to get into the people business. Mm-hmm. You have to go above yourself. You have to be willing to do that. So that's one thing I would definitely tell people. If you're definitely going to go into business, that you have to make sure that, you know what you're going into and how money is made. You know, money, unless you're holding a gun to someone's head, it's really an exchange of goods and services to the betterment of both parties. And so once you understand that, and you can, you know, then serve as many people as possible, and which is called, quote unquote, scaling your business, then, you know, that's when you're ready to take that next step. I would also say too, is that, you know, if your things are too comfortable for you, you really may never take that next step. And that's just the truth. Sometimes, you know, that next step is taken out of necessity. I mean, I really applaud Danielle for doing what she did, because it seems like she didn't really have, you know, to do that. You know, she just took that step. For me, you know, it was always in my heart, but I feel like, you know, God kind of directed me by closing certain doors and closing this door, then putting me in a really kind of crappy job. And then the job I either had, you know, had over, you know, I was going to make it, you know, as an entrepreneur. So, I mean, that's just really what it is. Sometimes it has to be, you know, bad enough. You have to want it bad enough. The situation has to be that, you know, crappy for you, or you just have to be that dissatisfied with the status quo for you to really take that step, because there's a lot that's involved with it. It's a commitment.
It's definitely a commitment.
I think it comes down to being comfortable, being uncomfortable a lot of times too, because a lot of people get complacent with being in a regular 9-to-5 job or whatever it may be. And then it's like, well, this is providing, but it's like God really has more plans for you if you actually jump. So, I mean, technically you don't have to jump, but it's like, I heard somebody say this and it just kind of cracked me up. It was like, I think it was David Goggins in a motivational thing that I was listening to. And he said, I want to be the guy when I get to heaven, or whatever power there will be, is kind of what he put. But for me, it was like, when I get to heaven, I want to stand in front of God and be like, hey, well, God had this checklist for me to get done, and I did like 10 other things. And he was like, dang, I didn't even expect you to get those things done. And that kind of was like a moment for me. It's like, dang, like, you kind of want to live up to that. Like, you kind of want to be like, dang, okay, well, if God has me set out to do this, I want to try to, obviously God knows all, so it's not really going to be like that. But in your mind, it's just kind of cool to think that. It's like, dang, okay, well, if God's got this plan for me, like, I want to try to prove God that I can do that and some. And that was pretty cool. So obviously you don't have to jump, but being comfortable, being uncomfortable is definitely a huge step to kick yourself over the edge, because you could do it for the rest of your life if you wanted to, or you could potentially have the life that God has planned for you. It's just a matter of having faith at the end of the day.
Yeah.
Did you want to add something, Danielle?
Yeah, I definitely wanted to piggyback on something that Manny mentioned earlier, but to add to it in such a way. I've heard the saying all my life, and I firmly believe it applies here, to thine own self be true. If you know you don't got what it takes, don't waste time. And I say that because there is an art to entrepreneurship, because whatever we tend to do, it portrays the image that it's so easy. It's so attainable. It's so doable. There's an art in that, because it's the complete opposite. I mean, it's doable, but it requires a lot of sacrifice. And like Jordan said earlier, you know, not partying and not hanging out. I mean, it got so bad with me focusing in on my passion and what I wanted to see and where I saw my success going, that people just stop inviting me to things. Like, oh, she's not going to come. She's too busy doing that. You know, like that, like it was something bad. And like he said, I look at them now and I'm like in a whole different position from them. And, you know, something that they were looking down at, or it takes too much time, or you don't want to hang out with us because technically I'm at the peak of my life. I should be partying and doing it up. It was like, no, I'd rather build my business. And now I can actually sit back, you know, during the pandemic and be all right. That's a huge accomplishment mm-hmm. that maybe I would not have had, because I probably would have been laid off from the job that I was at originally. Mm-hmm. So I think, you know, to thine own self be true. I feel a lot of people probably approach you guys. They approach me like, how can I start? How can I do it? And you can kind of look at them and get the vibe. You already know who's really going to follow it and who's really not going to. Mm-hmm. So I would say to those who really say they want to do it, start on your own. Forget asking people for help. Do the work yourself. And I think with you doing the work yourself, you'll begin to engage and create a bubble of people that are going to surround you and be that network for you. Because once you take yourself seriously, other people will too.
That's really good. Mm-hmm. What's the most successful deal or deals or client that you've had that you're like, wow, I can't believe I reached to this particular level? You want to share about that?
I made it to the White House.
Hey.
Little Jamaican girl from Brooklyn definitely made it to the White House with our former first lady. So mm-hmm. that was a huge accomplishment for me. And I would say, like, now in the wake of Black Lives Matter kind of thing, I can say I have a lot of those clients on my list, like Van Jones, who's a CNN commentator, the executive director of Color for Change, Rashad Robinson, the founder of Black Lives Matter, Alicia Garza. Like, these are people who are on my client list, and it feels amazing. And I guess.
And she has movie stars also. Don't let her fool you.
Definitely. So I would say on the other side, like one of my other biggest clients who is not in that kind of political realm would be Lin-Manuel Miranda, who is the creator of Hamilton. So I've worked with him and his dad quite a few times. I have quite a few Broadway clients, quite a few political clients, quite a few senators. Like, it's, the list is extensive, but I would say a lot of it has led me to the White House, which when I started out, I never even thought was even mm-hmm. an option. I just thought of makeup as maybe you do something for a birthday, maybe you do something for a wedding, but I never thought, you know, I would be doing half the things that I'm doing now. And even right now, I feel honored because it almost slipped me. The pandemic almost made me lose my mind a little bit, in that this year was the first year I got big national campaign with Target through this male grooming brand called Scotch Porter. And this year is the first year that I actually have an ongoing campaign that runs on all of the Viacom networks, which is promoting the 2020 census and voting. So right mm-hmm. now I have a campaign going on with T.I. Tip Harris that runs several times a day right now. So those are some of the accomplishments that I almost forgot with COVID, because it almost made me lose my mind. But, you know, yeah, so that's what's happening.
And soon you're going to be adding, and I also have Vivillon, LV.
Right, and Vilma, absolutely.
And they're going to like, woo!
Absolutely.
Okay.
Okay, what about you, Manuel?
So the way my business works, I don't necessarily have clients.
You have deals.
I don't necessarily have deals. I just have accomplishments. I also don't necessarily want to disclose how much I make necessarily.
Right,
but,
right.
You know, I would say.
Tell us all. We want to know.
No.
I'm joking.
Yeah, no, but I would say once I made more than I do in an entire year of my old job in a month, that's when, you know, things started to get real for me. And, you know, once I started to reach a level with trading Forex as well, where, you know, I could make what I make at my old job, what I made in a month, you know what I mean, at my old job in a day, trading Forex, you know what I mean, or a day or two or in a week. That's when things, you know, really started to open up for me. So those are some of the things, my accomplishments. It's more so, I guess, it's not necessarily client-wise. I wish I could speak more to that. Mm-hmm. I'm working on that as well, but more so I just have certain income goals that I've set for myself. But by God's grace, you know,
Great, awesome, Jordan.
Yeah, I'm on email. I don't even like disclosing numbers, but I mean, God was definitely good. I mean, we did amazing profit wise through our acquisition company. I mean, shoot, just seeing what you can make inside of a month and numbers that you can move around kind of blew my mind. It's like once you get to a certain point, your financial temperature gauge, like before it would be like, dang, okay, we're good. And then it's like, now you start seeing it and numbers really don't mean the same anymore. So it's like, you look at certain numbers that you used to have goals for that you wish you could hit. And that just kind of changes. And then it's just like your financial temperature kind of just goes down. So it's like normal. It's like certain numbers don't really mean that much to you anymore. But in regards to goals, I guess, and everything, and I guess top people I know, Vivlin is actually helping coach me and guide me through getting up to get in contact with the mayor and the governor. And we've actually made great strides. So potentially have a meeting with the mayor second week in August from the city of Wilmington for a lot of the revitalization that we're doing down there. So that's a pretty big accomplishment that's happened through Corona. And then I've been able to scale my social media up a lot during Corona. Did a lot of time on that, especially through everything that was going on. I just pulled down my time and kind of hustled a lot harder. So definitely scaled social media. I have an article that's getting written about me. It's supposed to be out, I think, the middle to end of this week. So those are some pretty big accomplishments. Never really had an article written about me before. And then as people start to reach out, things are happening. It's just kind of like, it feels kind of surreal. So that kind of keeps me humble. It's just like, dang, okay, like we made it to that point, but then I just want to make sure that I'm humble. So that's kind of,
I'll add to mine as well. It's like when I made my first $1 million, like, and I saw that on the screen, you know what I mean? That $1 million mark is just like, you really don't believe it's like, you know, real, but like, it really happened, you know what I mean? And as far as my business, you know, I generated $1 million in a year. Like, that's, I was like, wow, that's pretty cool. You know what I mean? So that's something I'm proud of.
Wow. I'm so proud of you, young man. That's excellent. And where is this article coming out in Jordan so we can let our audience know?
I think it probably realistically will be out the end of this week, but it's coming from Yahoo Finance. And then I know that the other one that is potentially coming out is from the Delaware News Journal.
Okay. So as our audience, as you listen, you want to know more about Jordan's accomplishment, check out the News Journal. You'll find something there about him.
Definitely.
Yep. Revitalizing the east side of Wilmington. So.
Okay. Wonderful.
And if they want to learn more about you or get connected, how can they get connected with you guys? Because I know, Danielle, you mentioned about store coaching people and helping people to get where you are, even though you're saying if you really want to do this business, start and let's see your momentum versus helping, you know, reaching out to us and say, help me start my business, blah, blah, blah. But, you know, what other ventures are you guys doing? You know, how can someone get in touch with you? You know, Manuel, you have things where you've reached the mark that you set for yourself for a certain age and you accomplished them. There's other people behind who want to say, hey, I want to do this too. I want to get into marketing and so forth. How can I do that? You guys have another platform. Are you pivoting yourself to another level where people can reach you? You can able to, you know, scale on a different level, meaning in a coaching or mentoring aspect?
Yeah. It's funny, right? I've been thinking about that a lot about, you know, doing some type of coaching, either for Forex or for internet marketing, e-commerce, whether it be all that type of stuff. But it's just like sometimes like you're in the thick of it that you don't necessarily have the time to be really doing all that. For me, I definitely want to teach. That's definitely a passion of mine. I feel like all the wisdom you acquire, I feel like myself, like I work with my brother, you know, but by God's grace, you know, brother was able to also retire as well. He works with me, you know, full time. But, you know, I feel like I'm always gushing information on him, just throwing stuff at him, you know, just from my years of experience in business. And it just comes out of you know what I mean? All the things that God puts in you, they almost come out of you, you know, whether you want them to or not. So that's definitely something I want to do. I don't have a platform for that right now, but I do have, you know, contacts or what have you. People want to send me an email or whatever, they can reach out to me. Should I share them right now?
Yes.
you guys can follow me on Instagram. I'm not on there as active, but I do try and check in from time to time. It's at Oh My God. So that's the letter O M Y G O D underscore S O N. So that's Oh My God underscore Son on Instagram. You guys, my last cool. name's Godson.
Cool. Danielle, oh. go ahead.
I have been doing mini mentorship via hiring people to be assistants for me so that they can kind of see where they can get their career going. I say that because I know for me what kind of helped me visualize the trajectory of where my career could be was having my first job be New York Fashion Week. That was a huge boost because it opened my eyes outside of what I thought the beauty industry could be. So when I get these kind of high profile jobs, trying to bring people on and pay them, because I'm all about paying someone for their time. But I feel like it's better to have them on board with me while I'm there so they can see how to navigate with certain type of high profile clientele, how to negotiate their asking price, how to hone in on their skills, and pretty much learn on the job. So I do a lot of that. And people, I'm pretty approachable. So if you saw me in real life, I'd probably say hi to you before you say hi to me. And at the same time, you can always, all my information is pretty much listed. But if you were comfortable with email, you can always email me at Danielle at In Her Beauty NY. And if you are Instagram, it's In Her Beauty NY. And you can always contact me via my website, which is www.inherbeautyny. And Facebook is the same thing, In Her Beauty NY. It's all In Her Beauty NY all over.
Awesome.
Okay.
Jordan.
Hey. So you can find, technically, I guess I'll do a small plug. But I am doing my first real estate event / networking mixer September 15th at the Hilton, which Vivlin is actually helping me with as well, which is perfect. So we're doing a networking mixer between 6 and 9, I believe, is the time. Trying to give back as much as we can, put all the right players that you would need in the room to do networking, but also kind of do like a speed networking thing. So that's kind of somewhere where you can find me. And then on Instagram, you can find me at CAPTMorgan9. So that's CAPTMorgan9. And then on Facebook, it's just Jordan Morgan. And then my email address is Jordan@MorganHomeMGMC.com that you can reach out to me. For the most part, I guess mentorship, I always try to be a mentor to people, but it didn't really go as planned. Similar situations that E-Man was in. It's kind of like you teach certain things and certain things kind of go around. So I haven't done much mentorship, but I'm definitely trying to point people in the right direction. So y'all can reach out to me. Feel free. That's all my contact info.
Awesome. Wonderful. Vilma, I didn't pay him to give me all those shout outs. If you're thinking.
I don't know about that. I hear, you know, dribbling, and I hear how you call him Jordan. That's okay. You basically answered the question that I wanted to ask Emmanuel by saying, are you guys solo or were you in partnership with somebody else? And you mentioned that, Emmanuel, you work with your brother. What about Jeremy and Dan? Are you solo or?
I've been on my own pretty much 7 years. I think I would like to get to a place where I can possibly be an agent for up-and-coming artists and filter them out to different clients. But so far, I've pretty much been on my own.
Okay.
Yeah, I'm actually business partners with my family. We have multiple companies. So we have, my whole family works with each other. So it's me, I'm actually the youngest of four. So it's me, my sister Jill, Jeremy, and Jeff are the four of us. And then my mom and my dad actually work with it as well. So my dad's kind of like the retired old school blue collar guy, very, very hard working, but he goes around checking on properties for us now, checks on all of our rentals. And then he's kind of like the anal punch list guy to where like everything's a perfectionist. That's kind of where we get our perfectionist side from. Mm-hmm. And then my mom, actually, she cleans a lot of our properties. So her slogan, we actually created her a business. Her company is called Hallelujah Cleaning. And the slogan that we created for her. Jeff created this slogan, which was perfect. It's looks like hell when she gets there, looks like heaven when she leaves.
Oh, so I like that. Very good marketing.
You know, so it was a perfect little, I guess, trademark to drop for her. So she's got a business, and then we all kind of run our own stuff. So we have a contracting company that Jeff kind of oversees, the acquisition company I oversee, We have about 9 employees under my company alone, and then a bunch of other employees between all the companies that we oversee. So, and then my brother Jeremy runs the management of the properties and stuff for the tenants. And then my sister is kind of like our glorified go-to assistant for everything. So anything we need, we reach out to Jill, and she'll do a lot of stuff for us. So that's kind of how our setup is. It's definitely good, and it's a blessing to be able to have partners in business, because everybody knows when you go through hard times, you're going through it by yourself, it's not the easiest, but if you have other people you can lean on, it definitely helps get you a little bit further.
That's right.
Great. Thank you.
Is there anything else you guys want to add or say that you guys just want the audience to know this particular thing before we end?
Go ahead, Jordan.
Ladies first.
I would say for me, honestly, it's a huge honor to be on this podcast, first because, you know, you're my sister, and I like that you're starting even your own businesses and branching out. I think that's real dope. And for me, I think being in the industry, I haven't been in it long, but I've been in it long enough to know that there aren't too many people of color really venturing out and starting their own businesses and believing in themselves that way, because I feel like the narrative is always sold to us that we just have to work for someone else. So for me, I would encourage people of color in general, specifically Black people, young people, like, go out there, follow your passion. And I think one of the things that was a little bit of a hold up for people with me was, what about the money? You're leaving all that behind. But one thing I have learned along the way is that when you're passionate about something, mm-hmm. and you're willing to do the work, the money will chase you. The money will literally chase you. So just get up and do it.
Awesome. That's good.
Yeah, that's a great point. And I think you may have mentioned something earlier about it as well, but it's kind of like when you get into the business, it's serving other people. And a lot of people are like, man, I want to become financially free. What can I do for me? Mm-hmm. And the money runs away from you at that point.
So it's true.
It literally, like, if you want to put a visual on it, like, money literally will get up and run right out of your pocket. And you're like, where did it go? It's like, well, you're trying to serve just yourself, so it's leaving you. Mm-hmm. So it's kind of like, money is attracted to people that are going to be giving back to other people and to be a blessing to others. So we're blessed to be a blessing to others. And for people that want to get involved in this, any entrepreneurship industry, I think if you're trying to find somebody, I mean, if people don't mentor or anything like that, like, you have to find some way to provide value to somebody in that industry. Mm-hmm. It's all about time, because a lot of us, like, I was on a podcast 2 weeks ago and we had the same conversation. It was like, we were talking about how a lot of people are like, hey, let me buy you lunch real quick. Like, I'd love to chat with you about business. And it's like, at the end of the day, it's like, we don't really need you to buy us lunch. Like, what's a $10 lunch going to do for us? But it was like, if you were to bring us a deal or bring us a client or bring us a contract, whatever it may be, and be able to spend time and kind of build a relationship that way, it's a lot easier to approach somebody with value versus approaching somebody with the, like, give me your time and energy type deal. Because obviously we all know once you're established, you don't really need somebody to buy you lunch. And I always crack the joke, it's like, I have my meals prepped for me every week, so it's like,
all right, show prep, off. So like, all right, show off.
My meals are prepped. I'm good. I don't really need lunch. It's just funny how it goes. But I do that for time. It's not even a show off. I literally, like, I don't have the time to cook, but it's about the same for that. And I'm sponsored by a meal company too, so it's not even like I'm balling like that.
I love it.
Oh boy.
If I were to say something, is really that you are an entrepreneur, whether you realize it or not. You work for yourself. You're CEO of You Inc. You know what I mean? And you're selling your services to your current employer and to your current customers. So you, as long as you carry that mindset with you, you know, you're always going to succeed. Because for me, I really didn't make the transition into really, you know, taking entrepreneurship seriously until I started taking my job that I didn't like so much seriously. You know what I mean? Until I started to realize that, you know, I could never ask somebody to truly and genuinely put their effort into working for me 100%, giving it all, when I haven't done that for my employer. So I really honed down my last, you know, year there. And I can say that, you know, looking myself in the mirror, truly knowing that I did everything possible that I could with that company. So it's just realizing, people just realizing that, you know, you work for yourself now. You know what I mean? So just get that into your mindset now, regardless of what's going on. You work for yourself, because even if your current employer lets you go, you still have to then go and market your current services, basically, which is your education, your experience, to a new employer, which is basically a new customer. So as long as you understand that you work for yourself and that, you know, that's, you know, what it is, you know, day in and day out, and you can grow through that, then I believe you have, you know, at least the initial seeds of entrepreneurship within you.
Wow.
This is not a question, but you, well, wasn't intended, but Manny, when you said you work for yourself, do you guys pay yourself?
Yeah, we're paid on like a draw schedule. So instead of taking profit out of the company, the company does well, but we're just paid based on a draw. So, okay. Yeah.
Good. Good.
I definitely started to. I would say initially I wasn't able to. I was literally just surviving. But now I've been able to, which has then allowed me to even start making investments, which is great. So that's how I've been kind of paying myself and investing in other things.
Wonderful. Great.
And it helps from a tax purpose too, because it's like your business income, you can start up other ventures, you can shield it via other LLCs, and there's a lot of different ways to cover it. So if you're smart about it, like, I love what Eman said. It's like you work for you, Inc.
I'm gonna feel that in a realist sense.
Yeah, exactly. Mm-hmm. It's like you really do work for you, Inc. So even if you work for somebody else, you can work as hard as you want, but technically you're still working for yourself and providing for yourself. So everybody is their own entrepreneur, but it definitely helps you grow too. But from a financial side, it's if you pay yourself on a draw schedule, let's say your company does $1,000 and you pay yourself $600 and $400 goes back into the company, you're only getting taxed on that $400. So you could do an LLC tax as an S corp and then start other business ventures, other income producing activities, stuff like that, based on that other money. So definitely good to learn that structure too.
Yeah, I would say I agree with that 100%. That's what we did. We had an LLC. We transitioned to an S corp, and it saved us, you know, five figures in taxes alone this upcoming year. So definitely do that, guys, and definitely invest in a good tax guy.
You know, crucial.
Yeah, we didn't have that great of tax. We actually had to chase him to get our tax. This is like that could have been another hurdle I imagine, but that was a fiasco in and of itself. But definitely invest in a good a good tax guy who knows what he's doing. He can save it for you, literally. He'll pay for himself 10 times.
Wonderful. Wonderful.
Yeah. You have any more questions, Wilma?
No, this was a great discussion. My co-host is, you know, she gets a little bit tough sometimes. No, I don't have any more questions.
Trust me, I know.
But this is.
What are you saying, really, Jordan? I didn't hear what you said.
I was saying sometimes, Velma, I have to hide from Vivian when she gives me a punch list, and I don't get one. I gotta literally hide because I'm scared of the wrath of Vivian.
Oh, okay. You know.
Vivian gets it done though. Vivian will get it done. That's a good thing. She will make sure you get it done, and it's good to have someone like that.
Right. I just want to summarize a little bit for our audience, next steps, and what do you do with all this information that we have presented to you today? But there are some key words that I want you to understand, is that you can do this, you can go for it, but you have to have that passion. Mm-hmm. You have to be hungry to go after it. So, you know, think about it again. Are you hungry? Do you have that passion? Are you a people person? Do you know how money is made? Do you have that faith that you can do all things through Christ who gives you the strength? And the other thing is to realize that when you get setbacks, it's for a setup. Mm-hmm. And there is glory in your story. So just think about all these as things that I've pulled from each person. And, you know, get yourself a mentor, get yourself a blueprint, and, you know, take advantage of people who have blazed the trail before. You don't have to invent everything for yourself. You know, you listen, see, and you will avoid some pitfalls. You'll avoid some hurdles. This was great. I've learned so much, and I have the passion, and I don't think, is there an age limit? Can I start tomorrow?
You can start right now.
Actually, yes. Let's not waste any time. Do it now.
Yep.
Ow.
Okay. So, Vivian, you want to wrap up?
Sure. Yeah. And you forgot to mention what Emmanuel said. He said, get an accountant. That's good. Pay them. They're worth their money.
Piggyback on that. I mean, I got really messed up. First of all, get your business in an LLC, S-Corp, what you need to actually get that. That is a huge relief for you, especially when it comes to taxes, because usually you're operating at a deficit for the first couple of years of business. Right. And that is going to be very, very helpful. And that accountant, I can't jump on that bandwagon enough, because my first accountant screwed me over. I owed so much money in taxes. It was disgusting. So an accountant is crucial for the success of your business. They it's a lot of money, but like he says, it'll pay for itself.
Awesome. Okay.
Awesome. Yes. Thank you guys. I really, really appreciate you guys coming and joining us today. It's been really great. And like I said earlier, we're going to have them back individually. They didn't know that yet, but we're going to have them back individually to go more in depth and to see how you can get on their platform, you know, get connected and join their master classes and get you to the level that you need to be, from where you are now to where you want to be in your life, and stop, you know, just dreaming that life that you want, but start living that life. And once again, this is another episode of Life Chat with Vivinville. Goodbye.
Bye.